Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
My personality was to blame.
What the call is that?
I was not afraid to say what was on my mind.
Boomer Esiason.
Esiason, wide open is Brooks. Boomer just threw that football up like it was on a hanger.
Host of Boomer and Geo, mornings on WFAN.
Why don't you just announce it on WFAN?
1988 NFL MVP.
The Cincinnati Bengals AFC champion.
NFL All-Pro and four-time Pro Bowler.
Esiason, the talk of Cincinnati.
Our very own Monday afternoon quarterback.
Chase Daniel, the more you see, the less you're going to like.
Here's Chase, back into the gun. He's hit on a release, up in the air, intercepted, picked up by Conley.
Boomer Esiason with McNeil and Parkins on 670 The Score.
Every Built Ford Tough Bears Monday, we talk to Boomer Esiason on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. There's been lots of hand-wringing around here when we've had Boomer on the last few weeks. Boom, I feel like we're in a much better place today because we've accepted it. We're at the acceptance stage of this. We know it's over, and at least me, I was just laughing at the Bears yesterday. I actually found it relatively entertaining.
Well, you know, thanks for having me on under these wonderful circumstances. I can only tell you that misery loves company because New York football isn't much better. Neither is Washington Redskins football. Neither is Cleveland Browns football. Neither is Miami Dolphins football. So there's a lot of fan bases out there that are pretty upset this Monday.
Yeah, you can freshen your script on the Giants probably tomorrow morning when you get on the air. I assume the Jets, I assume that was an out brawl for you today after the way that that went down. Who's taking the worst of it, Darnold or the head coach?
No, I think the head coach is definitely taking the worst of it. And then, of course, the interim owner, Christopher Johnson, who's Woody Johnson's brother. Woody's obviously the ambassador to Britain right now. So Christopher has been running the franchise the last couple of years. And, you know, I think Adam Gase has taken a lot of this heat because in many eyes, Sam Darnold has taken a step back. You guys heard about, obviously, the ghost comments and everything a couple Monday nights ago when they were playing against New England. But it's ugly. It's ugly everywhere for coaches that are on losing teams, you know, whether it be Adam Gase or whether it be Matt Nagy. It doesn't matter. I mean, you know, if you lose and there are expectations that come along with these jobs, you are going to be focused in on, especially if you're an offensive coach and you have a young quarterback that's struggling, which seems to be what's happening in Chicago. And actually, it's happening everywhere where a coach is in trouble. Their quarterbacks are playing like garbage right now.
What is so, I think, jarring to Bears fans and many of us Bears media and observers, though, Boom, is that last year they won 12 games, had the coach of the year and the executive of the year, and we were like, the only thing they don't have is the quarterback, but now it's year two in the system. It felt like the last piece. Now we don't know if we have any pieces.
Well, a big secret for you guys last year is you led the team in takeaways. You led the entire league in takeaways. I think you had 36 takeaways with your defense. They only have 11 this year. You know, that's like the hidden statistic in all of this. It's not so hidden. It's out there for people to see it and find it and look for it and what those turnovers do for your team in terms of momentum in games, how you gain points off of those turnovers and things of that nature. So while the defense is only giving up 18 points a game, which is winning football in any, you know, at any level of football, the offense is not, you know, sustaining any sort of drives. They're really having trouble. Mitch is having trouble with his accuracy. I don't know if his left shoulder is still bothering him. It's not like these things go away. They kind of stay with you throughout the year, but the same thing could be said for, you know, all these teams. You know, last year, interestingly enough, the San Francisco 49ers caused only 7 turnovers. Only 7. Think about that for a minute. And this year, it's the complete opposite, and it's one of the reasons why they're winning, because they're healthy, their quarterback is healthy, and Shanahan's got them rolling. The first 2 years weren't great under Lynch and Shanahan. Now, all of a sudden, the third year, you know, they got one of the best teams in football. So these things happen. They're like cyclical. The big question now moving forward for the Bears is, Mitch Trubisky the future of the Bears? You know, right now you would say no, he's not, but this is the time where they got to find out if he is the guy that's going to lead them, because, you know, it doesn't get any worse than it is right now. Sam Darnold's feeling that. Believe me, Baker Mayfield is feeling that. A lot of quarterbacks around the league. And look, Andy Dalton lost his job. No fault of his own. I mean, you know, the team around him stinks. The organization is awful. And he lost his job. So they have to look at the young kid. And I don't think there's another alternative there in Chicago right now. So Mitch is going to have to fight through this, man. And somehow, some way, you know, they got to beat the Lions this week. Each week I feel like I'm saying that. It's like a broken record. But until they win a game, they're going to be stuck in this it's not even mediocrity, because yesterday's first half was about as bad as it gets for an offense.
Yeah, they went 2 for 10 on the day on third down. They're in third and long all the time, second and long, third and long, a ton of pre-snap penalties.
Just like the Jets, man. And you know what that is? That's the quarterback. That's the communication and the confidence of the quarterback. You know, when I got traded to the Jets in 1993, I can only go by my own personal experience. The Jets probably had 25 false start penalties, about 30 holding penalties, and the offensive line were known as the penalty pals. I came here and we got rid of all of that because I was very decisive. I knew what I was doing. I knew how to call plays. I knew how to check pass protections. You know, I knew all that stuff. So everybody that I was playing with felt a lot more comfortable when I was behind them than the previous quarterback. So it seems to me like young quarterbacks go through this. And unfortunately, we have a bunch of guys going through it all together at the same time, and everybody wants to know what's wrong with them. And the thing for me is that when they don't communicate properly, then the other 10 guys on the field look disjointed, and they have problems, and they don't get the right run checks in, they don't get the right pass protections on, and then he bears the brunt of that. That's why it's up to the quarterback to be, you know, the unquestioned leader of his team. He's got to know everything that's going on that field.
Given the absence of talent he has with which to work, how can we have some faith restored in Matt Nagy? What can he show us these last 8 games that would restore our faith? What should we be looking for?
Well, he tried to show you this. I think he tried to show you two games ago against the Chargers. He tried to show you. He tried to show you that he can win a game, run the ball, and ask Mitchell to make, you know, a couple plays here or there. And then, of course, Mitchell, the way this season has gone for him, makes the bad interception in the fourth quarter. And yesterday, Sam Darnold had a really tight red zone interception. These are the things that kill your team, and they turn the momentum against you. You know, the one thing I will say yesterday is that as bad as their offense was in the first half, and as bad as it was, as it felt, because I know watching the game and I know all Bears fans watching the game felt horrendous about it, they came out and fought and had a chance to win the damn game because their defense kept them in the game, but when the defense needed to get a stop at the end of the game, they couldn't get it. Why? In my eyes, it's because they're exhausted because the offense wasn't helping at all. I mean, the defense of the Philadelphia Eagles pitched a shutout in the first half, almost a perfect game, if you will, 6-3 and outs, I think it was. So, you know, at least they fought back. That's the one thing that's the silver lining, that they're not giving up, that they're still playing hard for their coach. And I think for Matt Nagy to move forward here is that's what you got to look for. You don't ever want the coach to lose the locker room. I don't think he will, because I think they had a lot of success under him last year. And I think everybody understands what the problem is. The problem is that their offense is not good enough to sustain long-term 4-quarter drives. They're just not, and the quarterback's not good enough to do that. So I think that's what they got to see. They got to see improvement running the ball next week against the Lions, which I think they'll do. And hopefully Mitchell can have a high percentage passing game and not commit the debilitating turnover.
Boomer, fans have given up on hope. Like they do not believe it is possible that Trubisky is the quarterback of the future.
And I understand why.
So handicap the chances of it. Like, there's not much time left. They've got to make a $24 million fifth-year option decision on him at the end of this season. They're probably going to bring in competition for him next year at the very least. Like, what chances do you realistically think there is that this is salvageable?
I think it's 50-50, honestly, and that's probably being somewhat aggressive. It's probably less than that. They want him to do well. They want to win with him. They saw that they could do that last year. Now, all of a sudden, something is going on, whether it be injuries or not. But they're not going to spend that kind of money on Mitchell Trubisky next year moving forward if this thing continues, unless something happens miraculously here in the last, you know, 7 or 8 games. So I would think that they would either be looking for somebody in the draft, even though they don't have – I don't think they have a number one pick.
They don't.
Right. So it's going to have to be somebody like, you know, like an Andy Dalton, for instance. Somebody that's capable, and if he had a number one defense to play with, which the Bears will have next year, given you know, who they have on their roster, I think that a serviceable, competent veteran quarterback could actually do something there. I don't necessarily know that they could win a Super Bowl with that quarterback, but they could certainly do something with somebody like Andy Dalton. But I think right now it's a 50-50 at best that Mitchell's on this team next year.
Did the Ravens make a statement last night?
I think so, and I also think the Patriots walk out of that building, you know, having, you know, an idea of what the hell they're going to be dealing with if they see him in the playoffs, which is a good thing. You know, I think Lamar Jackson is a phenomenal athlete, but you can't play quarterback in the NFL long term the way that they're asking him to do that. You know, Colin Kaepernick didn't last, RG3 didn't last, and this kid is a wonderful athlete, great kid, and he loves ball. He's got a great football IQ, all of those great things. But if you're going to ask him to run 16 to 20 times in between the tackles, I'm sorry, it's not going to last. And while it's fun to watch, and it's fun to watch something different and watch other people struggling to try to stop it, I don't think it's sustainable in the NFL. That's why, you know, it's a short-term, I believe it's a short-term fix for the Ravens, maybe 3 to 4 years, unless something drastic happens where he all of a sudden turns himself into a 95%, you know, pocket quarterback. I think this is, you know, it's probably going to last and be successful, but I don't see it winning a Super Bowl.
Was it a blueprint on how to beat the Patriots?
I don't think so. I don't, because you got to have this special quarterback to do it. The other special quarterback that can do it will be Patrick Mahomes, and they'll see Patrick, I think, in about 3 or 4 weeks. And I think, you know, he's a guy that's going to give everybody fits when he's back. And, you know, look at how good that offensive team is. You know, they won with Matt Moore, their backup, yesterday. He had a really good game, and you could just see how fast Tyreek Hill is. It's ridiculous what speed does on an NFL football field. And as long as his head is right, then he's an impossible cover for anybody in the NFL. So I think Kansas City will definitely give them fits. It'll be a high-scoring game because I don't think Kansas City's defense is the best in the NFL. But certainly when you're playing with the lead, you could be a lot better than when you are playing with a lot, you know, playing from behind.
You mentioned San Francisco a little while ago regarding their turnovers. What about Garoppolo's performance Thursday night? Makes a believer out of me. I wasn't sure he could play like that.
Well, it's one game, but it's on the road, and it's, you know, it's in the division. Arizona played a really good football game, but going into that game, their running game wasn't expected to be all that good simply because of the nagging injuries that they had at running back. So I thought that was like a Garoppolo game. I thought he had to come in there and show everybody that, you know, he can win a game on the road. And I thought his accuracy was really good. See, that's the thing. It was timing and accuracy. And, you know, a lot of these teams all run the same plays. It's the question of how the quarterback, you know, goes through his progressions, reads the defense, stands in the pocket, throws it on time, takes the pressure off the offensive line. And you could see that, you know, Garoppolo, at least last Thursday night, and actually this whole year, he's been in tune with Kyle Shanahan. And Kyle Shanahan, like Matt Nagy, is a really good play designer and caller. And I know it doesn't seem like that in Chicago right now, but if the quarterback is processing things the way that he's supposed to be processing and seeing the field the way he's supposed to be seeing the field and delivering the ball on time and accurately, that's the way it's supposed to look. Yeah, so I think Garoppolo with that defense is the perfect kind of quarterback for a team like that to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Boom, I'll admit I struggle with, because Trubisky is so clearly regressing and flawed, I don't know what is fair to put on Matt Nagy. I know he's not blameless in this, but I don't know what specifically is on him.
No, it really is about accuracy for QBs. And, you know, that's, Mitchell has a problem. He had a couple drop passes yesterday that were key drops, you know, and I always want to remind people that it's not just the quarterback that, you know, that he needs help. You know, he needs guys around him to play better, to make spectacular plays. Look, even Baker Mayfield, who was the number one overall pick and clearly consensus number one overall pick, much like Kyle Murray, even he's struggling this year. And I think it's more about the structure of what's going on there in Cleveland than his personal talent. I think he needs to be reined in. But I just think this is, you know, Matt's trying every which way he possibly can to get the most out of his QB. And, you know, and I saw yesterday there was this whole discussion about whether or not they should be trying to run the ball more and everything else. Well, you're playing the Eagles. And the susceptibility versus the Eagles is in the secondary. So you go into the game thinking to yourself, you know what, I have to throw if we're going to beat these guys. And Allen Robinson should have had a monster game, much like Montgomery had a monster game against the Chargers. So this week against the Lions, you should be able to run the football and you should be able to throw the ball down the field. That's how everybody is putting pressure on their defense. And I think as a coach going in, it's got to be a Mitchell Trubisky game. He's got to throw for, 250 and three touchdowns down on the goal line, play action passes, get him touchdowns, get him confidence. And, that's really what has to happen here.
Boomer, help us punctuate week nine. The Giants are getting 7 tonight at home against the Cowboys. Where would your money be going if you were a wagerer?
I'm not, but I did pick the game tonight, and I did pick the Giants to cover.
Okay.
So
that's a win.
I saw the Cowboys come here and play the Jets a couple weeks ago. It was a disaster. I mean, their secondary wasn't very good. And then, Daniel Jones will have his customary turnovers like every young quarterback does. So hopefully they'll keep it close.
The customary turnovers.
We're getting used to
them. But it's just driving me crazy. I mean, it's really what kills the game, and it gives the other team momentum. And that's why the Bears, you don't even realize it. When you think back to their season last year, how good they were and how many times in games their defense got the ball away from the other team and how that changed the dynamic of that specific game at that moment.
Yep.
And then how the offense would capitalize on it. That's not happening this year.
Well, and they didn't even have to capitalize sometimes because they were pick six in it. They were scoring.
Yeah, exactly. They were scoring defense too. So they're only giving up 18, which is great. Don't get me wrong. They only have 11 turnovers, which you would think by this time they probably would have had double that because that's how good they are and that's how active they are on defense. And losing Akeem Hicks really does hurt, and it showed itself late in the game yesterday.
Sure did. Thanks, Boomer. Talk next week.
Always my pleasure, guys. Hopefully next week will be a better week.
Hopefully.
Thanks, Boom.
It's not guaranteed. I like that. The customary turnovers starring young quarterbacks in the NFL. Mitch Trubisky on lead vocals. Daniel Jones on lead guitar.
Baker Mayfield.
Sam Darnold on bass. Baker Mayfield on the drum kit because he could preside over everybody and make the most noise because that's what he likes to do best, make noise.
You know, it's true. Like, you can't make judgments on these guys too quickly. Everyone wanted to crown Minshew as a Minshew mania thing, and then he's just dink and dunks and check downs.
Yeah, got
and
pasted yesterday.
Taking
absolutely
sacks.
Annihilated.
Yeah, it is. It's a tough league. I mean, Jared Goff struggles when he comes in, then is almost the MVP, and then he's regressing. Like, there's very few guys that just, they click, they get it, and then they're awesome for a decade plus. Looks like that's Mahomes, that's Watson, and among the young quarterbacks, that's the list, right?
Yeah, I don't think we're missing anybody. I mean, the jury's still out on Murray. He's played, what, 8 games?
Yeah, Murray probably hasn't played enough yet. Lamar Jackson is...
Russell Wilson... 5 TD passes yesterday.
Oh, I don't even consider him young anymore. Absolutely. He got good and just kept getting better. But yeah, Russell Wilson, he is incredible. First half MVP?
Right there with anybody else. Yeah, I told you last week it's tough to keep me away from Aaron Rodgers. Oops, spoke too soon. He got a Charger thrashing.
That was weird. I watched a lot of that game. It just didn't make any sense. I know that they're getting healthier, but... it's just weird. I felt like the Packers offense was ahead of that and getting better every week. That was just a really weird egg.
Stunningly bad. It was really bad. And why is J.K. Scott allowed to wear shorts when punting the football? Put some football pants on, youngster.
That was Boomer Esiason, brought to you by your local Ford dealers and the Ford Tough F-150, the official truck of the Chicago Bears. 312-644-6767. More of your angst on a Built Ford Tough Bears Monday on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Khalil Mack on the tackle. Carissa Mack has a game break.
I like that. Here you go, Dick.
And if you married someone like Mack, you would be Carissa Mack.
But she would.
She's Thompson. She's Thompson. What a game that is. Kansas City.
Stream of consciousness with Dick Stockton.
I mean, he's not wrong.
That's correct. That
would, right?
Yeah, it could
if
be.
She took his
yeah,
name
if
and
she took his name,
they
right.
got married. Okay.
And if you married someone like Mac,
that seems relevant.
Could be Thompson Mac.
Yeah, hyphenated, like yeah. Roy Robertson Harris.
Love those married guys.
This hour on The Score brought to you by Zappolis and Associates in Mokena. Bottom of the hour brought to you by the Wolves. Want to ride a Zamboni on the ice during intermission of a Wolves game? I'm sure you do. Sign up to take a spin on the new Turtle Wax Icebox. Visit ChicagoWolves.com or call 1-800-THE-WOLVES to learn more. We are winners. We are the Wolves. So, speaking of...
Have you married someone like Mac?
Yeah, marrying someone like Mac. The Bears defense... I don't know. I saw the quotes after the game where they said it's on them. That was on them. I don't put that game on them, even though there were moments where they were bad.
Yeah, there were moments when they were bad. Yes, they gave. Yeah.
But that, like, if you were doing a pie chart of blame, there's no way yeah, right. the defense gets the biggest slice of pie.
No, absolutely
not even close.
Not. I would give 2/3 of it to the offense, but that's still, that's 33%. If it were right around in that vicinity, they have to play almost perfect football. They can't.
Exactly.
They can't afford to be giving up that many points with that offense. They have to overcome a handicap that they did not make themselves. That was their general manager's mistake.
The biggest thing they were taking blame for was the final drive itself. They said yep. they needed to make a play. So do you think they should take some blame for not stopping them at all on third, that entire drive?
So there were 4 third down conversions. I went back and watched it this morning. They were good on first and second down, and then the Eagles made some awesome plays, frankly, on third down. The one that was the biggest, I thought, individual error by a defensive player was Danny Trevathan just had a missed assignment. He just straight up misread Miles Sanders. He thought Sanders was staying in to block, so he left his contain, and he left his man-to-man principles on him. He went inside. Sanders slipped out to the left flat, and he got... like 17, 18 yards on the 3rd and 13 screen, completely unguarded.
The Jordan Howard touchdown run was played terribly by Eddie Jackson. He came up when he saw a run and there was some congestion in front of him, but he did see Howard juke to his right and to Eddie's left. And all he did was make a swat at him with his left hand up around the shoulder pads. Just a swat with the left hand. Didn't really break down, bend the knees, get the hips down, and get in a football position. And Howard runs right over, right past him, right into the end zone. That was a terrible, terrible effort. Just terrible tackling.
And to Sean's point about where they took the blame in terms of that last drive, you know, one was a 3rd and long. Alshon made a great catch. That's not on the defense.
Yeah.
One on the 3rd and short. Frankly, that little RPO where it was the play action, the little, you know, he faked like he was going to give it. He pulled and then he hit the quick out to Ertz for the 3rd and 3 conversion. That's what the offense is supposed to look like. If you've got a quarterback who you can trust to make those post-snap decisions and reads.
Philadelphia went 8 for 18 on third down attempts. That's 44%, and they were 1 for 1 on fourth down.
Yeah, they got the ball back and drove it down with those 4 third down conversions, and the Bears didn't get the ball back until there were less than 30 seconds left in the game with no timeouts.
And the roughing the passer call was a killer.
Yep, that one was brutal.
Nick, we said so many nice things. Remember how good Nick Williams was in Week 4 against the Vikings when forced into duty, when Big 96. Let's live in that time and revel in that defense. God, were they good that day.
They were good that day, Mac. Yeah.
They've been good for, 3/4 of one game since.
Well, they have to be, like you said, perfect, but also it's unreasonable. Like, in this era of the NFL, it's unreasonable to say they're going to get 30 turnovers and 6 touchdowns a season. That's just it's an unreasonable standard in this NFL.
Yes, it is.
So, that's where they are. And that's why we said it. It's not like this is... It's a surprise because it's come crashing down this badly, but we all talked about this. We talked about how there would be turnover regression. We talked about how there would be health regression. And the question was, would the offense take enough of a step forward to cover up those places that were obvious where they were going to take a step back? If you were pessimistic about the Bears before the year, you thought the offense would not take a step forward to cover it. If you were optimistic about the Bears, you thought they would cover up those other places of regression. and obviously the pessimists are winning.
It's gone backwards. It hasn't even stayed the same. It's way worse than it was a year ago. This looks like they looked yesterday in the first half like they don't practice. That's what they looked like. That's how bad it was.
You want to try some Teddy KGB impressions?
I would love to do that. Since Mark Schlereth brought it to the broadcast yesterday on Fox, we revel in that, one of our favorite movies.
You let them hanging around and hanging around and hanging around.
So in order now for this batch of calls to get on the air on a Built for Tough Bears Monday, you have to do a Teddy KGB impression, either before your Bears point or for bonus points. Weave your Bears point into your KGB impression. We go to Gary, where Cole is on the score. What's up, Cole, KGB?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi, Cole.
Yes, I am still up at 20 grand from last time I stick it in you.
You guys love it or like it?
I like it. Good start.
I like it. Keep it going, Cole.
Hey, that's all I got, man. It's been a decade since I've seen that.
All right, well done. What's your Bears thought? No Bulls tickets, but it'll work.
Were you doing the thing when you said stick it in, when you were, he's like whipping his leg with...
Oh, the thrust?
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, okay. You got to have the thrust going. Nicely played, Cole. Thank you.
Yeah, man. Hey, so really I was calling in. I'm looking at the Jaguars, and I heard you mention, you know, Gardner Minshew earlier. I mean, the guy's a rookie. His QBR is sitting at 46 with, I think, like the worst wide receiver core in the NFL. I think Mitch is around 32 or something as QBR. They've got Nick Foles on the bench. I mean, I think he's still in the IR, right? But he's got a 4-year, $88 million deal. Would there be any value in Mitch maybe being a backup and offering something to Jacksonville? I mean, if they could free up some money, if you're looking at Gardner as the future, you're going to need a backup and you're not paying somebody, you know, $22 million bucks a year to be a backup.
I am going to be very, very surprised if Gardner Minshew is the future there because of how he's regressed over the last couple of weeks, Cole. And there's an out in Foles' contract after 2020. So it's a 4-year, $88 million deal, like you said, but 45 guaranteed at signing. So it's a big number this year and next year. And then it's huge in 2021 and 2022, but those numbers are not guaranteed.
Yeah. Selling Mitch Trubisky to somebody else as their backup of the future. Lots of luck with that.
Yeah.
What would that get you in return for a guy who, what are you going to get for that?
A Disney Plus subscription.
Yeah.
Like the login info to the new HBO Max, maybe.
Yeah. I can't imagine it being much.
No. No, no one is trading for Mitch Trubisky. I will say also, I see a lot of Marcus Mariota talk on the Bears' Twitter blogosphere, and I understand, right? Mark Helfrich is here. He coached him. Ryan Pace reportedly loved him before the draft. Let's see how that worked out. So
that's a red flag right there.
Yeah. Well, and just to
I
be
hear you, man. I'm all in.
Marcus Mariota was benched for Ryan Tannehill. And Ryan Tannehill is completing over 70% of his passes and has thrown for 300 yards in two of his four games since taking over from Mariota. So 31-year-old bad Ryan Tannehill has outperformed younger Marcus Mariota in the exact same system. Like, why does anyone think Mariota's good?
I don't think they think he's good. I think they believe he's better than Mitch Trubisky. The bar is not real high to be better than Mitch. So I think that's where you're seeing Mariota love.
Okay, but
you rather see Mariota?
I think it's nothing. That is, there's very little difference there, and he's. The same guys that are here with Mitch failing now are the guys that liked Mariota.
All right. Well, give us another name for next year's veteran presence to either battle Mitch Trubisky, or if they dump him all together and just let him walk, a second or a third round draft pick. Who's your veteran you're bringing in if not Mariota?
Well, so if Foles did get cut, I would love that. I think he would be great. If Alex Smith ever plays football again, I would absolutely be interested in Alex Smith. He's operated this offense at a high level.
He's had 50 surgeries.
17 to be exact. Listen, these are not great options. Teddy Bridgewater is the best option. 26.
That's not terrible.
Right? But
that's
going to cost.
Not terrible. Think about that.
Yeah, it's going to cost you a lot of money.
Yeah, let's do that. It's not terrible.
But it's just—it's weird.
Let me have that sandwich. It's not terrible.
It's like people though dismiss. Pace and Helfrich like him. They like Mitch. That does nothing for me that Pace and Helfrich like him.
The GM needs to, I don't know what they, you know, I can't get anybody to give me a history where personnel departments were separated with one guy being specific to accruing offensive talent, one guy defensive. But if the Bears want to go think outside the box and do that, let Pace handle defensive hires, both draft and free agent, and find somebody else to bring in offensive talent. He's terrible at it. He overvalued this offensive line. It's way overpaid for. Cody Whitehair had a good game last week, but they paid this dude $55 million. He was wrong on Trey Burton. He was wrong on Adam Shaheen.
Don't get mad over there, Mac. You're starting to get mad. Don't get mad.
It's a built Ford tough to watch Bears Monday. That's what I'm going to call it the rest of the day. Not mine originally. One of our texters in the first half an hour.
I think it's a good call by the texter. I'm sure Ford is happy to be on board with it. And then listen, people are texting in pie in the sky things like, yeah, Philip Rivers would be awesome. I see no reason why he's leaving the Chargers. I know he's a free agent, but he will resign.
The Bears have effectively restarted the Chargers season. They've resurrected. Yeah. The Anthony Lynn has hope now. They fired Ken Whisenhunt after they beat the Bears, and they played very well yesterday, both sides of the ball.
Would you rather see Cam Newton here or Marcus Mariota? Because to me, that's easy. I'll take Cam.
Yeah, I'd take Cam Newton over Marcus Mariota, yes.
Okay. Well, so I'm just saying there are better options than the
guy.
Or
maybe they can find an Allen. The Allens are just
Brandon
running all over.
Brandon Allen, yeah, Kyle Allen, Josh Allen.
Three Allens throwing for touchdowns and winning games yesterday. They throw the Allens at you, and they throw the touchdowns at you.
Allen Robinson and Wildcat?
Ooh.
That's an idea. Bob in Columbus has a KGB Bears thought.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, gentlemen. Oh. Excuse me.
That's okay. Yeah. Jump into character.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. Here's my concerns. With the playoffs out of the picture in zero pressure, will the great Mitchell Trubisky play well enough to garner another shot for the following years and potentially earn himself a contract by winning multiple games over the next 8, and the Bears feel maybe we actually have something here? That's my concern.
Bob, want the cookie?
You like it? Is it good?
Yeah, it is good.
That's all good, right, Bob.
I like it very much.
Thank you, Bob.
When I was rehearsing, I was going back and forth between Russian and Spanish. It's really hard to stay consistent with your
character.
Yeah,
well, Dick Stockton's not sure if it's Russian, bro.
Irish.
Yeah,
Irish.
He has no idea what it is.
Yeah, you're a tremendous method actor, Bob. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
See, you can laugh at the Bears.
You've got
bad.
No choice.
It's so bad, it's awkward almost.
The nation is laughing at the Bears. A year ago, are the Bears getting enough national love? We whined. We're not getting enough love. They're not recognizing the Bears enough. Well, they are this
stop
year.
Stop recognizing us, please.
Yeah. All you got to do is be off the chart terrible, and you'll get your recognition. Every talking head show, whether it's ESPN, Fox Sports 1, NFL Network, the Bears are getting absolutely eviscerated, and they deserve all they're getting.
And if that bothers you, don't worry. Apathy is right around the corner. They'll start ignoring them soon. The Bears will be ignored.
I don't know if they can.
2-3 weeks, they'll be ignored.
Not if Mitch keeps showing up.
Yeah, they will.
If they keep rolling him out there and he keeps posting 65 ratings.
Yeah, why talk about it? They're not interesting, and they're terrible.
Terrible sells, though. If you can't be good, be really bad.
Yeah, agreed.
Especially if they continue to deploy the bad.
But Baker Mayfield is the car crash nationally because he's also petulant.
Yes, and people, you know, he's made this bed for himself by
being
a Jag. And if you didn't see last week, he got all upset about somebody asking, and it was a dumb question. He was right. He could have said that's a dumb question and continued to answer dumb questions. Instead, he walks off the podium away from the lectern and acts like a baby. And they had a guy yesterday, I can't find what he tweeted. They've not put Pro Football Jermaine Whitehead tweeting inappropriate things. He's a starter on defense.
Not anymore. They released him.
No, they cut him today. Yeah, because
you didn't see what he said?
Inappropriate tweets. ProFootballTalk.com just says inappropriate tweets and doesn't share with me what he tweeted.
He
was threatening somebody, right?
Yeah, he said he was going to kill people, shoot people, called them racial slurs for white people. Cracker Jacks, those sort of things.
Okay.
He was going off, telling them to come to the facility, and he would shoot them, all sorts of lovely things.
Well, it's all happening in Cleveland, yeah, right? Yeah. You know, what would Sonny Weaver Jr. think of this mess? I know the owner, Anthony Molina, wouldn't put up with this. People made him get wet.
This segment brought to you by Fogo de Chão Brazilian Steakhouse. For a limited time, enjoy the best of Brazil for just $39 at Fogo de Chão Brazilian Steakhouse. Enjoy Brazilian cuts like prime lamb steak and picanha sirloin, traditional sides and extensive market table for $39 in Chicago, Rosemont, or Naperville. Reservations at Fogo.com. Yeah,
salsa.
He also searched his name on Twitter, too. It's not like the guy, the media member who said that he just blew a tackle or blew an assignment.
Yeah.
This guy, Dustin Fox, who does media in Cleveland. He just said, you know, fill in the blank guy's name. Blew a tackle on that play. Then after the game,
he's being threatened.
Responded after him and said, "Say it to my face, you little beep 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 beep." Yeah.
You get your ass cut for that, man.
It was an escalation. This aggression will not stand. We've got Mark Grody at 5:00. We're going to take more of your KGB Bears calls, and don't worry, the Cubs have made more moves to their support staff, and all is well. They've solved the problem. I have the details on it coming up on The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Every player is going to face this head on. I don't think they need it. What was your word? A massage? I don't think they need a massage.
Yeah. Well, now they can't even get a massage. What happened? Bruce Levine reporting. The Cubs are changing all sorts of things. The assistant athletic trainer, Matt Johnson, massage therapist, Laura Paluk, and yoga instructor, Christine Schwann, they're all gone.
You got to have somebody in that clubhouse to help Yu Darvish with his balance, right? It's very big in Asia. That's what he grew up with. Mike Shannon taught me that this past season.
Yeah. So
no yoga instructor? No massage therapist?
I'm sure they'll hire new ones, but they were part of the traveling party.
Well, they'll be from in-house. They're not looking outside.
No external candidates for the yoga instructors.
Balance, that's something you don't hear in our world. But on the Pacific Rim, it's used all the time.
Downward dog, go!
I feel so much better already. I mean, the Cubs, they're just really getting to the root of these problems.
Yeah. And congratulations to Cubs first baseman Anthony Rizzo for copping a Golden Glove. That news came yesterday. How about that to make everybody feel better?
Yeah.
Yay! Gold Gloves being announced on the 4th of November. Baseball idiots.
It is so ridiculous. Yolmer Sanchez also getting a Gold Glove.
I forgot about that. Yolmer, love him and his neon glasses. Always been a big fan of him. Hope he's around for quite some time. He'd be good to have as an additional infielder on Tanny's dream team for 2020.
The 84-win dream team.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's the 92 dream team, right. And then there's the 82 win.
Yeah, real funny, guys, as I click refresh on Twitter search JD Martinez opt out.
Hey, just keep the dream alive.
No news yet, folks. Okay. By the end of today.
You'll be the first one to let us know, though.
Probably not.
Okay. Well, when someone on Twitter who's verified knows, you let us know.
Yasmani Grandal on his wish list. He's got guys out there. He's been thinking.
Julio Teheran's option was denied today, not picked up by the Braves. So
sign
interesting
him up
names.
Then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Add him to the list. You have a thought?
The thought is that it's just so dark. I mean,
yeah,
it is just so dark right now. And almost literally, too. This is our first day closing up shop after the time change, obviously, yesterday.
Yeah.
And the sun will be going down very, very soon. It's going to be a long winter. Can't get me to Scorehouse 2 fast enough, if there is a Scorehouse 2.
This show, though, I'm confident was built for these times. Anybody can do Bears Monday.
Are you kidding?
When things are going well.
I don't fear it. I just fear complaints that we don't talk enough sports.
They're built tough.
We'll be fine. Right?
You guys talking about movies again? You guys talking about music again? An extended almanac again?
I fear the music. I fear the music part a little
bit.
Well,
you know, I'll take care of the music if I got something I'm going to. But everybody, you hit every demo with your Jerry Seinfeld review, which you're keeping until tomorrow or something? What are you doing with us?
Whoa, I'm not keeping it until tomorrow. I will say this, man. I've seen Chappelle multiple times. I've seen Chris Rock. I've seen Louis C.K. I've seen the best stand-up comedians of this generation, this era. And I thought, I told you this last week, I was going in a little nervous because Seinfeld doesn't do new specials, so I knew that he was kind of always recycling in material. It was amazing.
Good.
He was a master craftsman. He was like a comedy sniper. Mac, there was no intro. He just sprinted onto the stage.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no, ladies and gentlemen, Jerry Seinfeld, to get a big like standing ovation and get the crowd warm for him. He wanted to earn that first laugh. Suit and tie, sprinted onto the stage, telling jokes. He had a punchline, it seemed like every 8 to 12 seconds, 80 minutes,
yeah.
Nonstop energy.
Well, let's go back for a second. The opener, who opened for him?
It was your guy that you texted. What was his last
name? Mark Norman.
Mark Norman.
Very funny, and who could probably... yeah, he could probably headline that theater, maybe.
Hilarious.
One or two shows. He's great. But you missed a lot of that, right? You were here eating sushi.
The line to get in was way longer than we expected. And then my buddy brought a bag unnecessarily because he came from work.
that's a Parkins party right there.
Yeah, exactly. So he had to like go around and so we like waited in one line and then he had to go to another and we were trying to be polite and wait for him. So I did miss like about half of the opener, which was upsetting because I wanted to see the whole thing. But I saw every minute of Seinfeld.
That's like when you're going to see the Stones, you don't go for the warm up act. Did Jerry Seinfeld for you, the Stones of stand-up comics, potentially? You don't need a warm-up act.
No, I didn't. But you know,
how much can you really laugh in one night and still have energy, right?
Oh, it was so great, man. I was blown away. I was expecting it to be more of a nostalgia show. I really was. And it was like just keeling over. Your stomach muscles are hurting. That's also because, you know, I don't do crunches or sit-ups or lunges.
No?
Or, yeah, I don't. Yeah. Doesn't that surprise you? Yeah, but
stunning.
It was spectacular. I'd still say Chappelle, best stand-up act I've ever seen, but Seinfeld was second.
Mine's easy. George Carlin. Long time ago. 1980.
You still,
when I
saw
George
one time?
Carlin. Yeah, just saw him once.
Man, that's pretty cool.
Yes, it was pretty cool. Still on top of his game. Still very, very good in 1980.
That's how I feel like Seinfeld is. 65 years old, doesn't need to do it for the money, doesn't record specials, but just 3 out of 4 weekends a month, he just flies on a private jet to some theater somewhere in the country just to keep the tool sharp. Like, I really, he loves the craft so much. It was awesome to see. Look at all these KGB impressions we have. So that's going to be a nice counterbalance to a downright depressing Bears question I have for you that I was confronted with over the weekend. It's coming up on The Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.